Shall we turn to the scriptures then, beloved? I'd like you to turn to the first epistle of John. And the fourth chapter. We'll commence reading at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son, the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son, the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. I'd like to go on reading, but I want for these minutes to dwell on this section. Praise the name of the Lord. I think if I read it again and read it again, read it again, something of its truth would sink into my heart more and more deeply. For that's how I've come to know the Bible, just by reading it and rereading it and rereading it and rereading it. I couldn't tell you how many times I've read this epistle. Couldn't begin to tell you. I love it. Praise God. Of course, you will know that there are five marks of the new birth given in this epistle. If they're not in your life, you're not born again. Now, you should go and see. I'm not asking you whether you signed a decision card or whether you've had what you call a second blessing or even a first one. I'm telling you, if you these five marks aren't in your life, you are not born of God. So you should get straight down to it and find out what these five infallible marks are. They're infallible because God's given them to us. And you don't have to run around asking anybody else. They could be very fallible, all these other people. Please, do you think I'm so-and-so, or so-and-so, or so-and-so? Well, you don't need to, really, if you'll get down and believe this precious book. Now, one of the great marks of the new birth, I'll give you one of them, of course, see that I'm going to talk about it if I can, is that we love the brethren. That we really love the brethren. Now, this is a most important commandment. It was so important that Jesus alone uttered it. He said in John chapter 13, isn't it wonderful? These seem to be the things that sunk into John's heart. See? He said, a new commandment I give unto you. That's right. I can command everybody else to love God and love his neighbor. That's it. But I'm giving you a new commandment, that you love one another. My, what a fallen state the church is in. How many people do you know that really love one another? You say, oh, well, perhaps you might be inclined to say, well, I love people, I love this, but you've got to find out what God means by loving. Now, God has very clearly told us what he means by loving, because, see, we are so human, we are so sentimental, we are so tied up in our feelings, and we have choices and preferences and I don't know what, and they're all very necessary on the human side. Obviously so. A man, for instance, must love his wife before, in the natural side, before anyone else in the world. That's right. But when it comes to this tremendous spiritual love, we are given clear indications, and they were in the chapter that we read together. Now let's look at it together, shall we? This is what it says. We're told this in verse 7, that everyone that loveth is born of God and knowest God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. But now listen, now we're going to see what this love, we're going to get an idea of this. In this was manifested the love of God. Now that's right. Some, you know what it is to be manifest, don't you? You mean, it just means made plain, right out for everybody to see. Now God has given us an exhibition of his love, so that when we're talking about love, we're not getting into something sloppy and some idea of what we think it is. It's very specific, and it can keep all our thoughts concentrated along the right line. Let's have a look at this love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. See? Now this is the first glimpse we're given of it under the pen of this inspired writer. Now see what it means, and you'll know whether you've really got love. When you love people, do they receive life? See? Here's the manifestation of what real love is. God sends love that the life of that love may come to the person to whom he sends. Oh, this is wonderful, isn't it? And I want you to see something about this love. It's not sent. Oh, I love, I've got love, I've this, I've the other. It's sent. It's worthwhile giving. Glory. Oh. And when you come up against people, you say you've got love. Oh, yeah, I've got love to brother so-and-so. I've got love to sister so-and-so. I want to know this. Are they living by the result of it? Or are they dying? As your life comes into contact with them, I'm not asking whether you shed buckets of tears and talk about compassion. Now you feel for them, I love you really, and all this business, though you know the words you're going to say don't mean it. We like to preface our remarks that way. Now I love you, but, see, especially if we're very well taught in how to say it. It's wonderful how well we can become educated in these things. Now, beloved, here is the truth. That God sent this glorious love. It's all manifest, Lord. I can see it. I've got the wool off my eyes and no blinkers, Lord. I want to face this thing as stark as judgment day, for we're drawn to the judgment day after this. But we've got to have boldness in the day of judgment about this. We read it together. Oh Lord, I want to have bold, stark judgment day honesty. Here's the proof of whether I love my brother and my sister. Whether this, that in the contact of my life upon them, life comes to them. Or is it after you've contacted people, beloved, you leave them depressed, down, shattered, wishing you'd never come? Though you may preface your remarks with John 3:16. Here's the tremendous thing, beloved, that you and I have got to see. Oh, this is, you see, God. This blessed love, God is love, you see. And love is so wonderful. God says love is so tremendous. You can, if I may put it this way, the Father says to the Son, Jesus, this love of thine is wonderful. And Jesus says, Father, oh, thank you for loving me like this. And they feed upon one another's love. And they said, let's share it with those people down there. That's right. Let them have this life that we're living. Glory. If some people come to share with, if you've got to share your life with other people, I wonder what grumbles and wretchedness and misery and darkness you'd be sharing. So I try to overcome those, you know. I try to be pleasant, I try to be nice. And all that business. Oh, forget it, forget it. God doesn't love because he's having to overcome oppositions in himself. This isn't the love of God. This is the love of humans. Got a bit of religion in him. We sang it. Somebody chose the hymn. Who chose it? That first hymn we sang of Wesley's. You went right to Jesus' perfect mind. Jesus is a constant mind. Goes all the way through. And I want to tell you, beloved, that this loving is a thinking thing. You think love towards people. And you talk love towards people. And blessed be the name of the Lord, you demonstrate love. Love's no good unless it's demonstrable. Love's demonstrable. Hallelujah. If love wasn't demonstrable, however would we know it? We'd have to believe people. Yeah, well, I believe you do. See? So, well, I believe God loves me, tells me in the Bible, I believe it, and you can believe yourself into hell believing that God loves you. God's done something about it. Hallelujah. He's got his arms wide open. Glory. And this is the great love of God. Brothers and sisters, herein is love. Listen. Not that we loved God. You know, I could love her if she was a little bit nicer to me. I could love him if he wasn't like that. You sinner. But this is the stuff you're always hearing. Don't you realize, beloved, that this tremendous love that God talks about, it is really the gift of God. It's actually the gift of his own love. It's not a watered down thing. God didn't water down his love in that man of Galilee. As a matter of fact, he was his prime exhibition of it. God's great, glorious truth, beloved, is he wants to display this in humankind. Oh, my. When this dawned on my poor, narrowed, mean, little thing that I was calling a Christian experience. And I read these words. Look here, you've got the first word in that chapter, verse 1. Beloved. Oh, glory. Verse 7. Beloved, look at it. Look at it. Well, well. Verse 11. Beloved. He's bubbling over with it. Beloved, beloved, beloved. Who's he calling beloved?
Me.
Of course he is. That's the thing that dawned on me. Somebody said it for me. Of course. This God sent this to me. Beloved. What? What? Yes, this is it. It's God's word. But isn't it a marvellous thing that God always inspired his word through human beings? Don't you see it? He didn't come out with flame and write it on the sky. Glory! It was old John saying, beloved, hallelujah, glory to God. Beloved, beloved, beloved. Wonderful. How many times have you called your brothers and sisters beloved? Do you know, beloved, some people are just waiting to hear. They're just waiting to hear. Oh, you know, you can kick me, you can curse me, you can command me, you can denigrate me, you could blaspheme me, you could hurt me, you could force me, you could make me do some things, but you will not get the best out of me. You love me and I'll do anything for you. Just love me and see. You'll get all the best that's in me. I'll give all my little all if you'll love me. Oh, if we all went round and said, beloved. If we all did, and it was deeper than words, and it was absolutely real, what a wonderful thing it would be. You see, there are twice this little phrase, God is love, comes in this section. And here it is, it's in verse 8. In verse 8, it is information. In verse 8, it's information. In verse 16, right in the center, where it ought to be, it's a testimony. It's a testimony in verse 16. Now, this is what it's all about, you see? We read our Bibles, and we hear that God is love. But that's not good enough. That's insufficient. Something has to take place in us, beloved, by the grace of God, that brings us to the place where we can say, God is love. Oh, don't quote the Bible to me. I'm not quoting the Bible to you. It's my testimony. I found out that God is love. It's wonderful to say the Bible is true. But oh, beloved, the next thing that's going to be asked you is if you say that God is love, you demonstrate it. You demonstrate it. We've come to the time, beloved, when we're at an end of words. Praise the name of the Lord. You take that wonderful chapter in 1 Corinthians 30, where we're told about the love of God. It says love never fails. Whether they be prophecies, they'll fail. Whether they're tongues, they'll cease. Praise the name of the Lord. When I was a youngster, I was brought up and under the teaching that that meant that tongues, the prophecies of tongues and the gifts of the Spirit ceased because that which is perfect had come, the Bible. And so I was brought up under the lie that's taught in the name of truth. That's not what Paul is saying. Because the Bible isn't perfect anyway. We know we've lost one epistle of Paul's. That's not in circulation now. We know it's incomplete. There's an epistle to the Laodiceans that's lost. There's another little one that he wrote in Ephesians. That's lost. I haven't got that one either. Is that right? There are some books of the prophets that are lost. We haven't got them. The Bible is not perfect and complete. You understand that? I know sufficient has been preserved for God's purposes amongst us. Don't misunderstand it. Hallelujah. And every word we've got is inspired of the precious Lord. Every jot and tittle. But glory. This Bible's going to be burned up when they burn the earth up. Won't be any Bibles in heaven. They won't need any. That's right. We'll be unto perfection in the blessed spirit from whence they came. Amen. So don't worship that with it. There was a time when I did. I substituted that for God. I've had to learn differently. I found out I was an idolater. I was accepted as a very orthodox preacher. Paul says, there are situations, beloved, that prophecies and tongues are not good. I've met people by the grace of God, people in dire and desperate need. I was once in a meeting, in a conference, convention, or whatever you want to call them. I don't know where it was now. Oh, somewhere over in Yorkshire. And we were on this platform together. Was it? Anyway, it might not have been in Yorkshire, but we were on this platform together. I was up there with a string of ministers there. My, we'd been on the platform for about 10 minutes, and some of them were having a really great time, a rattling time too. They got the tambourines going. And after a little while, a man stood up on the platform and he blasted forth. He was a bigger man than I, and he spoke at the top of his voice, and he shouted louder than I've ever shouted in my life. And he went through a long statement. I suppose it was to be accepted as a prophecy. And there was a woman had come in and crept in, and she was sitting in the back of the hall. And it looked to me as though it was all directed at her. But you know, beloved, it never touched her, never got near her, never reached the poor soul. This has happened time and time again. I remember a woman coming into my church in Bradford. She told me afterwards that God had told her to come that night. She didn't belong. She came into the church. I happened to be speaking along these lines. Something about this, I don't keep notes, so I don't know exactly, but it was on this great theme. And she came in, and she belonged to a section of the Pentecostal church that laid great stress on it, on the gifts of the Spirit, you know, especially the prophet, the set prophet, and I don't know what. And he'd said so and so. There was a situation in her life, and the prophets had prophesied, and I don't know what had been said and done, but everything had failed. And I happened to say this that night, that there are situations that nothing can reach but love. Nothing. She went down the steps, and God had spoken to her heart, and as she went to get on the bus, she burst into tears. I don't know what everybody on the bus thought. But she wept her way home, because the love of God reached her heart. It's beloved. We've got to love. If you don't know how to love, I beg you to get out of get out of this place of prominence and keep your gift to yourself if you can't love. Oh, to love. Hallelujah. Love, love, love. Had a woman come to see me. She sat across the room. I won't tell you her name or the society she belongs to. You probably will know her name. She doesn't belong now. World famous society. She sat across my room and she said, "Mr. North, I'm a failure." She said, "I'm a failure. So-and-so, been a worker for 20 years. So-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so." She said, I'm getting out. I finished, but as I happened to be in this area, my so-and-so told me to come and see you. Because when she rang me up, I didn't know her. She said, "You won't know me." She came in, sat there, and she said, "I'm a failure." And the tears began to run down her cheeks. And she pulled out her handkerchief, fished for her bag, blindly, and didn't know what to do. And she said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." I said, "Don't apologize, sister." I said, "I'll probably be weeping with you in a minute." When she went away, she said, "Where can I go? Where can I go?" I said, "If you go along there and turn left, and go along the end of the road to the roundabout," I said, "if you turn left, the way down to Deeside is on your right. If you turn right, the way down to Deeside is on your left. Go down there and love Jesus." That's right. You see, beloved, there's a time when only tears can reach the need. When only love can do anything for people. I give it to you as my considered, not that I need consider it, opinion and testimony after many years of privilege in dealing with precious souls, that every one of them without exception has responded to love. To love. People need loving. We've all had it hard enough, God knows. If you can't love the brethren, you're not born again. And if you can't love with this kind of love, you may talk about the baptism in the Spirit until the world goes up in flames. You've got a strange experience. For this is one thing that I found when God met me and baptized me in the Holy Ghost. He made me able to love. Oh, glory! He made me able to love. And people say to me, "It's all right for you, you're one of these kind of people." I said, "Look here, when I was a boy in London, I used to walk along the streets holding my big sister's hand, one like this. I was shy and frightened of the dark, and I don't know what. One of these shy little boys and one thing and another. Glory, but since I learned that the Prince of Glory, that Holy One of God, that Immaculate Gentleman, hung naked on a cross for me, for the gaping bulls to gaze at and feed their filthy hearts, I've stopped talking about being shy. Inhibitions? God broke the laws! Smash them up!"
He didn't provide something for psychiatrists to play around with. The love of God. Where is it in thee, brother? Where is it, sister? I don't feel it. And what use of it is it to thee then, if I can't feel it, if it's nothing to me? God sends his Son into the world. This is the love. It's all manifested that people might live. Glory. And he imparted his own life. And that is life. The other story, textual believing. The devil knows it all and believes it all too. It's only men who go in for the stupidity of not believing the Bible. The devil believes it all. Here's the tremendous thing. To love. To get into that blessed testimony. Oh, to say, God is love, you know. God is love. And when a man gets that into his testimony, everybody knows the man loves too. Well, how can you discover? How can you know? How can you get into this blessed place? Well, it was in our reading. Let's go. Let's read it, shall we? Now listen. Verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. But, I put the word but in. I don't want to add to scripture. But this is the truth. If we love one another, they could see him because he dwells in us. Lord, God dwells in us. Oh, where's God? Here he is. Pardon? That's right. Yes. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Listen. And his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he's given us of his Spirit. You see, you can always tell there's a loving Spirit in the man. Yeah, there's a loving Spirit in him. Doesn't matter what you do, you can't stop it. Got a loving Spirit in him. You can hit him, kick him, malign him. You can do what you want. You can tell lies about him. You can go subtly behind his back. You can trip him up. You can do what you want. But he's got a loving Spirit. He comes up loving. Every time. That's the test. If you haven't got that, something wrong. Givenness of his Spirit. Plus, this is a spiritual thing. And Spirit isn't like that, like blowing out a candle. Spirit is the strongest thing in the universe. We talk about spirits, they're so weak. Cool, dear. Oh, God, watch it, watch it, watch it. Glory. Give us his Spirit. Let's go on. And because he's given us of his Spirit, you see, we see. And nobody's seen until we've got the Holy Spirit. They've only seen it in the Bible. But nobody's seen it until they've received this Spirit of love. Now listen. These sort of faculties we have, sight, hearing, they're only means of knowing. Look, I see that. And now I know, don't I? I know it's a microphone, because I can see it. They're only ways of knowing.
If you blindfolded me, see, and you set me up in that corner with my back to the congregation, and somebody crept over to that piano and went, dong, I'd say, that's a piano. Why? Because I've heard it. I know. The only means of knowing, this is what it means, see, knowing God. That's all they are. We make a fuss about these words in the Bible, so we're in some obscure thing. It's the easiest pie. And he said, we see and do testify that the Father sent the Son, not to be, he always was, the Saviour of the world. Glory. Now let's go on. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Can you confess that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, I'm not asking you whether you know the Bible says he is. See, this is where we go all wrong. We need to know the Bible says so. Of course we do. But that was somebody else's confession. Can you confess that Jesus is the Son of God? What do you mean by confess? Well, listen, you can only confess what you know. I couldn't confess to you this afternoon that I'm a liar and an adulterer and a robber, because I'm not. I couldn't confess to you that I'm devil-possessed and under a deep depression this afternoon, because I'm not. I confess to you that Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. I tell you all, I confess to you Jesus is the Son of God. I'm speaking in the context of the epistle too. I tell you Jesus is the Son of God. Since he's come into my life, he won't let me sin. I confess to you that he's the Son of God, all right. The glorious one, the all-powerful one. I confess to you that Jesus is the Son of God, and mark it, if he really comes in your life as he ought to come in, he'll stop you sinning. And since it's in the context of love, and Jesus has come to be the Savior of the world, then I'm going to tell you that whatsoever is not of love is sin, and he'll save you from it. I know, Lord, I've arrived when you saved me out of my unloving state. This is wonderful. I can love. You know, we had a little tiff, a sort of a division in our family, not between my wife and I'm talking back on my own side. Something happened. And something went wrong. And so I did as the scripture says. God had visited me by his blessed spirit in a wonderful way. And I went out to see the members of, on my side of the family, where something had gone wrong. And we talked together. One of them said, "Forgive me." I said, "Yes, yes, hallelujah." And then I confessed to her. And I said, "You know, I believe I can say this, dear. I know that Jesus has given me a forgiving spirit. She said, yes, that's right. That's true. Now, you see, he does that. He doesn't leave you struggling to do it. If you're struggling to love, it's because you can't love. What man, what woman among you here, and they would be quite my age, but, you know, or eligible, and I came up to you and I said, I'm struggling to love you, will you marry me? Yes. We think God's insane. A woman would think that was insanity. We're born humbugs. But when we're born again, we're born unhumbugged and understand. Glory to the name of the Lord. Loving is as easy as breathing. Loving is as fresh as the day. Love is like the breathing of the wind. Love is like the moving of the stars and the circling of the earth. Loving? Ask God, he finds it as easy as that. This is the love he gives. Hallelujah. No effort. Didn't Jesus say that if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink? That's right. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He was speaking of the Spirit. And if rivers of living have got to flow out of you, then I tell you it's got to be rivers of loving. And he says it's river. He didn't say it was a canal. Men make canals, and they move by fits and starts. That's right. There's no current in them. Need a motor or something. Need a horse or something. From one lock to another. Rivers, glory. I went to Peveril's Peak in Derbyshire, the Derbyshire Peak business. I went into Peveril's Cave. I think I went to Peveril's Well, I think that's what it's called. Went all inside. Inside there was a river that they called the River Styx. I don't know why they should. But it was an underground river, and it used to rise and fall most unexpectedly. You had to be careful and get out of the way if there'd been some rainfall about. Ooh, when the rain fell, it was so full it filled the cavern. Tremendous! Topper, about a pulsating beat of it. Walked outside when he saw Pebble's Well. He said, this well gives out, I think it's 250,000 gallons an hour or something, winter and summer, never alters. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Clean, sweet, wonderful water, not the muddy old. See, we're always wanting cloudbursts. Lord, send the rain. Send the rain. Send the cloudbursts, Lord. Nay, I want the well that's rising and flowing all the time. Yeah, give me that. Give me that. And the two things ran side by side. The Lord has come. do this tremendous thing, that we should love one another. Let's go on, shall we? I see my enemy has told me I've got to soon finish. He says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed. You've never known and believed it until this is in your experience. We've known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Are you in love? Are you in love? Live in there? Love isn't the place, it's a state, it's a condition. Head over heels in love, living in it, glory, with all your brothers and sisters. Head over heels in love, living in it, glory. Course always in love. No, they can't offend you. They can't do anything. It's impossible. They might just as well stop their nonsense. To love. Beloved, let us love one another. Love is of God. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. You're sure, aren't you? We had a drug addict come up. That's right. Who was it? Somebody. But was it you brought a, yes, you brought a drug addict up to the Longford some time ago. They went and left him up there. This boy, he was in a terrible state. He'd gone into a Rosicrucian fix with some other people, and he was under the power of the devil, one thing or another. We stayed with him, and the devil did all sorts of things in him, but the devil was beaten, praise the name of the Lord. But one day he came and sat in front of us on the lawn. It was way back in better weather. And he said, he was saying and doing all sorts of things. And then he said, can't I do anything to upset you? I said, no. No. He said, I believe it too. It wasn't only me. He'd spent 3 days with a couple of the team in a caravan too. He couldn't do anything to upset them. He said, isn't it possible to make you hate me? I've said and done everything. I said, no. No, not possible. He said, I believe you. But why do you do it? Why do you do it? He said. I said, because we love you. Well, why do you do it? I said, because we love you. I said, we're not after your body. We're not after your life. We love you. He said, I believe. Yeah, that's right. Unoffendable. Can't be done. Why not? Because it's the love of God. You see, we're trying to do it on our own love. See how we get offended. See how we get upset. Oh, yeah. Of course, you miserable thing. You've never been any good. Go away and die somewhere. And you never will be any good. And don't try and make out you are. Oh, beloved, to knock a nail through your hand and get love and his love back. That's right. To plow the furrows upon your back and get a kiss in return. That's the love of God. Oh, that's too high a standard. All right, pack up then. Clear out. Go out and pick some out of the gutter that want it. And know what they need. I warn you, this is one of the marks of the new birth. We love the brethren. We love them. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. I suppose I'd better stop. I've not finished. But what I want to say to you, beloved, is this, that some of us know we haven't got a life worth sharing with anybody. And that's why we go sit all alone. That's why we cut ourselves off and then blame the other person for not coming to speak to. Because inside, we know we've got nothing to give, really. And listen, we love him. Why do you love Jesus? Because when you cut yourself off, and when you were wicked and cold and selfish, and past living with, Jesus came and loved you, or loved you and came. See, here in his love, God sent. You'll always tell God's love, it's always the first way. It's always the first to act. Don't sit back in offended silence, you know, looking prim and proper and pious, waiting in self-righteousness for the other person to come and say they're sorry. Well, it was his fault, Mr. North, you know. It was his fault, really. Yeah, I don't doubt that. Why should you doubt that? What I'm doubting now is your love. You've come to get mine. You say, well, fancy dealing with a man that thinks that. Well, it's biblical and it's true. Why shouldn't I think truth? Why shouldn't you? And if we all thought truth, hallelujah, we'd all be there. And love one another. Glory. I remember once going to... I'm finished, really. I remember once going to a place... God worked in a mysterious way, and I found myself in this place preaching where really they were all against me. Wonderful how God, at least they weren't against me so much. I think I was a bit suspect, a bit of a speckled hen or something like that, but they were against the things they imagined that I preached, you see. It's amazing the people, what they imagine you preach, you know. Yeah, it's right. It's amazing. The devil's a wonderful liar. But anyway, I found myself in this place, quite by chance it all seemed, and something happened that I was put on to preach when I wasn't supposed to be, and since I've been forbidden, but it's too late, it's all happened. Glory, but never mind. But I was talking about the leader was there, you see, in this place. And I think I'd preached for about 2 hours. Right. And John, I said, you know what he needs, don't you? I said, he needs loving, this leader. I said,
You want to go up behind him when he's walking along the corridor one day and grab him from behind and say, "Get him, love you." That's right. That's right. You try it. You'll have the biggest surprise in your life. Don't wait along now and think you're the son. I'm waiting for somebody to grab me behind. Go and grab somebody else, you humbug. Go and grab somebody else, you liar. Feeding yourself on your own self-righteousness and nonsense, you'll get spewed out of God's mouth. Go and love. Go and die. Go and share what you've got. Go and give it. That's right. But you see, we can't give everything because we've got something we're hiding. Ah, we mustn't let them know that. So, see, we're all... Oh. That's what the cross is all about. Crucify you. That you can live love. Oh, it's wonderful to love. It's the freest, most glorious life in the universe to love. Amen. You don't care anymore what people think. You'll get maligned, but that won't matter about that. You'll get misunderstood, but that doesn't matter about that either. But love and give and live. For living is loving, and loving is living. And you've never lived till if you haven't loved. You're dead yet. We think we'll be alive if somebody loves us. Ah, you've got it twisted. That's how magically the devil's twisted you. You've got to go and give. That's right. Hallelujah. All right. Start now. Go on, take a good look round in this congregation. Go on. Don't think you're going to start tomorrow when you meet someone you know and like. Don't you be a twister unless you'll twist yourself into hell yet. So, oh, I'm a Christian. I doubt it. I'm honest with you. I doubt it. You can't love? Why should I believe it? What reason have I got for believing? Oh, I believe John 3:16, so does the devil. I believe in Jesus' precious blood, so does the devil. Strange, isn't it? But he does. And trembles. Do you see? Beloved? We've got to come out of this wonderful world of fancy. We've got to get down into it. He says, if you say you love God and you don't love your brother, you're a liar. How about that? He says, you can't love God. You're loving an idol. Some imaginary person called Jesus Christ. Most Christians are doing that. So called Christians. Oh, Lord. Well, I'm going to stop because I'm on nearly on my favourite theme, if not my most favourite one. Love one another, beloved. Love one another. Glory, glory, glory. Love one another. Yeah, yeah. And not with this sort of love that sucks everything in, you know, but the love that giving everything away. Glory. Glory. Amen. Let's pray. Now I want to tell you something. You will notice that John did not say, love everybody. He said, love one another. See, you won't see the wood for the trees if you're not careful. I love everybody. I do. I love everybody.
Don't you do that. God's not so silly as that. He said, love one another. When you love this one, love the next one. Love them all, one by one. We need individual treatment.
Lord, Jesus didn't say, I forgive everybody. He says, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. Personal treatment. Glory. I tell you, I should keep on if I don't shut up. But this is the truth. God helping me to live it.
Now, are you living it? If not, you've got the wrong life. Change it now.
Get really born. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Of course, if you only just got saved yesterday, you've got to learn to work it out yet, but never mind.
I'm talking at convention level.
Hallelujah. If you want to talk to God, tell him now.